We are on the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Celebrate life responsibly. Cajun Cannon Saints 2-0 on the season. I know, just like everyone predicted.
Pinch me, please.
A whooping in Dallas, 44-19, black and gold victorious. Overall, I guess, you know, hard to pick out anything bad, obviously, but what a showing from this Saints squad.
Well, I'm going to do my Jerry Jones impersonation or Jimmy Johnson in that cowgirl locker room. How about them cowgirls? All I can say is, who that say gonna beat them Saints? For sure in hell ain't Dallas.
Oh,
I don't know what's gonna happen. It's only two games. But Dallas, what? Come on. That was so embarrassing on their behalf. It was ass-whipping. It reminds me when the Houdat Nation was founded in December the 10th, 2007, when the student beat the teacher, when Sean Payton beat Bill Parcells. What was that, 42-17, and a game plan with Corny, the fullback, scoring three touchdowns? We've done this before in Dallas. Ain't our first rodeo. And, AT&T Stadium, they got a nice big screen and all that. We played there now five times. Oh, Dallas, look at their home record the last two seasons. All I know is the Saints have been there five times and won three. We have a winning record against Dallas. Oh, what have you done for me lately? Well, the last 11 games, the Saints have won seven against the Cowgirls. This is the 21st century, people. Now, you got to forget about Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman and all that. You truly live in the past. All you diehard Cowgirl fans, all your kids and grandkids, they don't know the Dallas is winners. They didn't think Dallas are winners, true winners, as far as being world champs. No, the world champs in the 21st century. The Saints got a championship, but you'd have to say it's the Patriots and the Chiefs overall as a dynasty. Man, Dallas ain't got no damn dynasty. Listen, it's always a great day when the Saints win and Dallas loses. Now it's double whammy. It's a two for one. When the Saints win and Dallas loses because the Saints kicked their ass. Listen, the Saints took Dallas to the woodshed. That was an ass whipping. You cannot sugarcoat this from the get-go. Oh, the Saints were lucky. This and that. No, it was a butt whipping. It was the most humbling experience for all you national people. And listen, I didn't even pick the Saints to win. That just goes to show you how shocking this was. I thought that was about right, that the Saints were six and a half point underdog. I said, the Saints are going to hang. But I thought, I think we'll score around 20 points, 23 or something like that. Man, look what we've done. We're the number one offense in the NFL. 47 and 44 points? What? I mean, come on. So all the people, the Cowgirl fans that live in Louisiana, you don't live in Texas. You might have visited Texas now and then. You're in Louisiana, and you're cheering for the Cowgirls. Same thing like the damn Louisiana fans that cheer for the Steelers. They never even been to Pennsylvania. And you're going to cheer for the Steelers? No, you're wrestling them with your grandpa, and I'll tell you. Where are you at right now? So I'll look at, like, okay, you want to call during the week and all. How about Joe from Mandeville? I thought maybe you passed away or something. We ain't heard from you in a while. But then you're supposed to call the post game now. You were telling Charlie, oh, boy, I can't wait to get on Bobby after the game. Okay, we'll call up Joe from Mandeville. Or how about Chack Bay? Chack Bay is a Cajun from the Bayou and loves Dallas. Now, his wife's a Saints fan, his divided household, but Chack Bay better show up at the Silver Slipper. He better show up tomorrow night at the Silver Slipper. But that was a butt-whooping. It doesn't get any better. Look, it's a 25-point win. It wasn't like we was thinking, whoever has the ball last, both kickers can make a game-winning field goal. That could be the difference in the game. And not so
fast.
Field goals. Field goal. Yeah, 25 points. Listen, anytime, and look, always look at a point spread. You know, 9.5 points is a lot of points in NFL. Anytime you win by double digits, that's domination. That's a whooping on any opponent. So you can look at any NFL game, and you see a 10-plus victory. No, that team deserved to win. Again, now I'm going to go through the numbers a little bit. After I got off on that, I'm breaking out in a sweat right now. I'm so excited. I'm looking at third down. Saints outstanding. They were 5 of 8, 63%. If that continues, that means we're possessing the ball. And you know what I like? You know what I like? When I see a team, Dallas even knew we were going to run on some third downs. What happened? They couldn't stop the Saints.
Stop it, right.
Listen, the offensive line, that's why I said, Steve, that's who got the game ball. Now, Alvin Absolutely. Kamara was unbelievable. You can look at all the skilled people and their numbers and all that. But if offensive line continues to block like this, hell yeah, the Saints are going to win. We're going to win big time, and that was outstanding. You look at our red zone defense. You know where the Cowgirls were? Like Dennis Allen said, you might bend but don't break, force field goals. They were 0 for 3 in the red zone. Outstanding. And as I say, they're incredible, like 5 or 8 on third down. And I said this from last year, and that's where we need to get. And we're doing above and beyond that. Can we stop the run, and can we run the football? What are you getting per attempt? And if you look at it, we had 39 rushing attempts. You know, everybody wants to see the ball fly all around. Okay, look at the last two games, how many passes that Derek Carr is actually attempting. You don't want him throwing the ball 35, 40 times. You want to be able to keep defenses off balance and being able to run the football. Look at the Saints. We ran 39 times, 4.9. That's basically a 5-yard average. Dallas ran 21 times. They'd probably want to run high 20s or low 30s, but they averaged 3.2. 4.9 to 3.2. Again, you look at the turnover margin. And I bring this up because you want to know why Dallas won 12 games last year in the regular season? They were a plus 10, fifth best. We were a plus 11, third best. That's why I don't know how we didn't get the double-digit wins. I said, if we do that again, I said this to Jeff Duncan. If we get the plus 11 turnover margin, we're going to win 10 games. I don't know what's going to happen. I think we'll win the NFC South, host a playoff game. I don't know anything beyond that. But right now, we're plus 1 for the game, so we plus 3 for the season. Going into Philadelphia, coming to New Orleans.
Holding it up.
That is so encouraging. You look at, like, penalties. I like a game called this week. I mean, I don't know where the officials, who's even the officials this game? All I know is they called 9 total penalties. I think it was obvious that Paulson Adebo gets a little handsy, but the couple of penalties he had, it's like away from the play. So to me, they shouldn't even call that. Now, if you affect the play, and then because Paulson Adebo holds in a couple of times, but then Paulson Adebo made up for those two penalties on defense with that great interception.
The one penalty on the O-line was questionable, too, when it was a legal man downfield.
Oh, with Cesar Ruiz. They were talking about a trick play and fooled Dallas. Foster Moreau's wide open for a touchdown. That was nitpicking.
Yeah.
I mean, really, Cesar Ruiz, what was he over the line? A lineman downfield by 0.5 yard or something? No, he beat Dallas even more. So instead of getting a field goal, we ended up getting a touchdown, I think, on that drive. Yeah. But if you're looking at 6 touchdowns to 1, you look at, okay, how guys contributed. I'm going to get to that point. But looking at it again, Derek Carr again. Oh, Dak Prescott, isn't he the highest paid quarterback? We had a quarterback rating of 78. Derek Carr had a quarterback rating of 125. So everybody hating on Derek Carr, what are y'all talking about? That's the same people that hate on Alvin Kamara and say he's too old to be a running back. I told y'all, Alvin Kamara's a young 29. If they block for him, he knows what to do. If you have the right coordinator, put Derek Carr in winning position, he will have success. And we're going to keep defense off balance. So all you haters out there, y'all need to show a little love. Now, I know it's a short season. So far, only 2-0. But I'm telling you, Derek Carr, if we're not winning, it's not because of Derek Carr and Alvin Kamara. I just want y'all to slow y'all roll on that. He had a quarterback rating 125, Prescott at 78. He was 11 of 16, 243 yards. He threw for 200 yards in week 1. But yards per attempt, 15.2. If you're around like 8, 8.5, somewhere around 9, that's about as good as it gets. Okay, you look at it distributing the wealth. All of a sudden, Jamal Williams even looks like a better running back. He's running for 4.9. Alvin Kamara, 5.8. Taysom Hill, 3 rushes. He had that long gain of 9 yards. Hopefully he's all right. But he averaged like 6 yards attempt. Now, looking at it, they all contributed. Like Alvin Kamara, total yards from scrimmage, 180. Rashid Shaheed, 114. Chris Olave, 88 yards. You look at average per reception. So you can't say, oh, Derek Carr is just going to dink and dunk and all that. No, no, what are you talking about? Derek Carr pushes the ball down the field. Rashid Shaheed averaged 24 yards a catch. Alave, 20.3. Kamara, 32.5. Now, I know screens and all come into play, but you have to look at the average. I thought overall against C.D. Lamb, he averaged 22.5 yards. But I thought if Honey Badger takes a better angle and makes that tackle, he don't have that chunk play and that touchdown for 65 yards. So, again, you go on and on. I agree with Deuce there. You know, special teams, usually we always win in that area as far as, like Rashid had no opportunity as far as in the return game. You look at Thomas and Turpin. Turpin, he had a long gain of a 35 on a kick return. And then Thomas had a 26-yard return. Now, group, we can't miss an extra point. We don't know how game's going to unfold. You cannot miss an extra point. That has to be automatic. I thought Hayball. We're getting on Hayball, the rookie, the left-footer from Vanderbilt. I was like, well, look, we're so damn good, we don't even have to punt. Well, why do we even have a punter on the team? We might as well let groupie like Pooch punt it. Well, what? In two games, he's punted three times? Well, today he punted one time for 49-yard average. I would take that every day in the week. And he went inside the 20-yard line. I want to say they got the ball on the 12-yard line. So good for Hayball. Now, you know, one thing he's doing overall, I think he's holding the ball good for groupie to kick it through. You know, that's important. You know, the snap, the hole, and the kick. So when you called upon the punt, we need you to be outstanding, and that was Hayball. Now, looking at as far as defensive activity as far as tackles, again, back-to-back games, you know who's a dog and will knock a snot bubble on you? Alante Taylor. That son of a gun ain't scared. He'll hit you. You know, he ain't just, like, trying to trip you. He tackles. They don't even practice tackling, so maybe that's an instinct. Alante Taylor's outstanding, leading the team in back-to-back tackles. He had 9 total, 8 unassisted, 2 tackles for a loss. I got to give, you know, another game ball? You know, everybody might, because it's sexy, and we all got everybody contribute, because we all know, you know, the new, okay, look at Chase Young. We want Chase Young to be good. We want our whole D-line. You want everybody. But Cam Jordan. Okay, like Cam Jordan had a tackle. Okay, but you know who's the new stud on the line? Carl Granderson. Carl Granderson from Sacramento, California, went to Wyoming. A Wyoming Cowboy. He had 5 total tackles. He had a sack and a half, 3 quarterback hurries, and a tackle for a loss. You know who's getting better also in the interior? Now, we should have, I don't know how to recover that damn fumble. Brian Brzezina was outstanding. See, I think Chase Young was trying to scoop and score. But right then, you know, we just need, you want to be excited, but fall on the ball. We got to get that. Because look at Brian Brzezina. He ended up with 2 tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss, and that forced fumble. No, it was almost, I like saying, this is almost too good to be true. I wanted the game to be over at halftime. Because I was so excited. But you know what? That's how confident our team is. Halftime, no, we want 2 more quarters to keep whipping that ass, to keep whipping Dallas, to keep the Cowgirls down. Oh, they say, oh, they have home field advantage? I think the who that chant was the advantage in that stadium
streak
today.
Streak snapped.
The streak snapped, but that got snapped when Green Bay whipped him in the postseason. And you know why Green Bay whipped him? What we did. What did Green Bay do that we did?
Run the football.
Run it right down their throat. What about like Micah Parsons? Okay, Micah Parsons, he's sexy and he does what, podcasts and all that kind of stuff and tells you how good he is. You can sack the quarterback. You know what you do? You run right at that son of a gun. You run right at him. You know what he had? He had 3 total tackles. Oh, you know what? Lawrence, DeMarco Lawrence, he had 2. They were non-factors. You got to make a run at them. Don't let them pin their ears back and rush the passer, rush the quarterback. Listen. It was so memorable, this game. I think, truly, even though Sean Payton and Drew Brees, what they accomplished, considering the expectations, this is so satisfying, this ass-whipping of Dallas, they got humbled. It's the most humbling experience, I guarantee you, Jerry Jones has ever had in his life.
And what a start for the Saints, back-to-back butt-whoopings.
And the team that beat him is Miss Gail Benson, the nicest lady in the world. The nicest lady in the world went to Big D, went to Jerry's World and whipped that behind. Whipped him. You cannot sugarcoat. You cannot say, oh, what if this would have happened, that would have happened. No, it was so satisfying. Again, it's only 2-0. I'll tell you, Steve, after the first six games, I hope we would be 3-3. But now that we're 2-0 right now, listen, I want to beat Philadelphia in the Dome. And you know, I want to beat Kansas City when we play there on Monday night. But think about this, how you really could be in control of things. Because now, these are NFC games. But think about, okay, you know, because the NFC South.
Yes.
You know how you want to win the division and host a game. Well, coming up in those first six games is Atlanta and Tampa Bay. Everybody's been worried about Atlanta in offseason. Damn, I'm worried about Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is the real deal. But look at the end of the season, how we whipped that butt. How we whipped Tampa. But Baker Mayfield, he was, I think, crying on the bench on the side. Remember, his ribs are all hurting at the end of that game last year? So I'm telling you, we're right there. So I'm highly encouraged. I say right now, the way we won our first two games, I'd be extremely disappointed if we're not at least 4-2. None of it. We should be right now because the momentum we have, and you build upon what you did, I think 4-2 and 3-0 in the NFC South.